Welcome to the Novartis Caring Connections podcast series, a resource created for oncology care teams on issues and topics shaping today's care landscape. In today's conversation about healthcare provider burnout, we're joined by Kathleen Sweeney, Director of Hematology and Transplant with Froedtert and the Medical College of Wisconsin Cancer Center in Milwaukee. Ms. Sweeney is an advanced oncology certified clinical nurse specialist, instructor, author, and researcher with 25 years experience in nursing, public health, community engagement, evidence-based practice, and understanding patient and staff satisfaction in the oncology care setting. In addition to serving as clinical oversight for bone marrow transplant and CAR-T programs, Ms. Sweeney is also responsible for key operational functions within her facility, including human resources management and quality performance improvement across both academic and community settings. Your host for this conversation is Matt Buckley, a program director with Novartis Caring Connections.
Well, Kate, it's a pleasure to be talking with you today about this very timely topic of healthcare burnout. And I want to thank you for being on this podcast. And maybe I could start with a couple questions about the symptoms of burnout and the effects. I'm wondering, what are some of those symptoms of burnout and the effects that you've actually personally seen?
So I think we all have an idea of what stress looks like in others. Trouble sleeping, someone who sleeps too much or too little, someone who overeats or doesn't eat, having GI upset on a regular basis, someone who's angry or irritable all the time. And those are the things that you can really see. From a health perspective, I think the thing that happens to a lot of people when they're under stress or starting to feel burned out is they have blood pressure problems. High blood pressure is a big issue for those that are under stress. And it's something that you can't see. Once someone moves into that burnout phase, you're likely to see someone who's calling in sick on a regular basis, doesn't seem to care about their job as much anymore, and really doesn't relate as well with coworkers or patients like they used to. Obviously, everyone deals with stress in a different way, so they could have some of these symptoms, all of these symptoms, only one. But typically, those are things that are early and easily identified symptoms of burnout for people.
That's helpful. Healthcare workers are often criticized for not participating in their own self-care. And it sounds like this is what we're talking about in this instance. What's your best advice to healthcare professionals for identifying and preventing burnout at the individual level?
We all need to get to know ourselves and what we need and what's important to us and how we can reduce our own stress. Everyone needs to take that time for themselves so that they can recharge every day, know that they can come into work and do their best. And that's something only you can do for yourself and know about for yourself. That's something we all have to figure out, whether it's exercising, relaxing, getting extra sleep, you know, something basic that decreases your stress level. But I think the other piece is we all need to be thinking about what this looks like in each other and looking out for each other. We are all in healthcare together. We are all dealing with the same stressful issues and patient experiences. So we need to figure out what helps us reduce stress, but then help our coworkers do the same thing. We can't take great care of patients if we don't take care of ourselves.
So how can organizations better recognize and prevent burnout for their healthcare workers?
A lot of that starts with leaders. Leaders really need to be looking for burnout and stress in their staff. And when they see it, they need to talk to people about it. They need to work with them on ways that they can decrease stress. Most of the time, we can't decrease the stress that's happening in the workplace, but we can encourage people to take care of themselves. We can offer them options to talk to someone, to join an employee assistance program, to get some mental health care, do an exercise program that happens at work. Leaders are often the front line of organizations with regards to looking at stress. And I think that a lot of organizations have really moved to having some type of workplace programming for health, whether it's exercise programs or offering, you know, extra days off for people that participate in wellness programs, having EAP programs that are on site that include mental health providers that can talk to someone same day. Organizations have really seen what stress and burnout is like and are really trying to offer things that help people. But again, we all need to identify these things in ourselves and know what we can do and what we need to do to make ourselves feel better. And that's really the biggest piece.
That's great. Kate, during this last year, many have stated that because of COVID, we've seen higher levels of burnout than we've seen in the past. Are you able to identify or speak to some of those unique or less common signs and symptoms of burnout that may have been more evident in this past year?
I think COVID has definitely been a transformative event that happened in healthcare, something that I never thought I would see in my healthcare career. And the levels of stress that everyone from the front desk staff to the cleaning staff to the physicians obviously felt huge levels of stress. And part of it came down to you really had no idea what was going to be happening day to day. You didn't know who was going to be coming in the next day, what patients were still going to be there the next day, how many new patients were coming in. We were all hearing things about lack of ventilators and lack of masks and concern for ourselves and concern for our patients and concern for family members. And I think that there was a time during COVID that people were working extreme hours to make sure that patients got taken care of and healthcare workers did not take care of themselves the same way. They made sure families were safe by not coming home and staying in hotels. And you hear stories about people that stayed in tents or RVs in their garage so that they weren't exposing their family members. What ended up happening is healthcare workers, you know, really did an amazing job taking care of patients, but really did not have time to take care of themselves. And I think we're still seeing the effects of that. There are many people who've left the healthcare profession because of what they went through in COVID, and people that aren't sure that they want to continue working as a nurse or a physician or a medical assistant because of what they had to deal with. And I think we're going to be seeing that for months and probably years to come. And so, you know, those symptoms are the things that we talked about earlier, people that are having trouble sleeping and are angry and irritable all the time and have started to have health issues because of the stress that they've been under for over a year. And it's something we're going to have to deal with.
Well said. Yeah, I would agree. COVID put a tremendous strain on the healthcare system, and those that were providing care felt the brunt of that, right? And who was caring for our healthcare workers, right, at the same time?
Yeah, yeah, it's definitely a scary time.
It is a scary time, and we've seen people shine as well, but at a great cost to themselves. I would ask, are there other environmental factors that you think have also played an important impact on these high levels of burnout in healthcare providers beyond the pandemic?
I definitely think there are things that have been increasing over the last years to decades. You know, patients are much sicker when they're inpatient and when they're outpatient. We're sending people home who used to be in the hospital for weeks on end, and we are trying to teach their family members how to take care of them at home, which is stressful for them. And that stress rubs off on healthcare workers. Staffing levels have been something that has impacted healthcare workers in many different places within the organization. I know that many places are having a hard time filling medical assistant and technologist roles. And those are people that are key to the everyday work that happens both in clinics and within a hospital. there are some staffing positions that are just hard to fill or take a long time to get people trained. And so it's hard when you're understaffed. You know, there was all kinds of stuff that happened during COVID, like nursing schools not being able to teach nurses the same or teach student nurses the same way that they used to because they couldn't come into the hospitals. So now we have nurses that are coming out of school that graduated that maybe didn't have as much experience as someone previously. So we're now having to deal with how do we add in some extra orientation for those nurses so that they're prepared to come out and take care of patients. One of the other big things that has happened within healthcare is just looking at the need for cost reductions. Every place is being asked to reduce costs, but either keep the same or increase the level of quality of care that they're providing to patients. And that can be tough. And, you know, what goes along with that is that pressure of meeting the expectations about patient safety and patient experience and the cost of care. And those are things that are being looked at on a regular basis in most healthcare organizations. I think all the social issues that patients are coming to the hospital with are just something else that we're dealing with. So you have someone's chronic or acute healthcare need, plus the fact that they don't have money to buy food. They don't have a place to live. They don't have a way to come back and get follow-up health care. Our aging population means that there are more people coming into the hospital with chronic diseases. So I think, you know, there are tons of things that continue to impact why there is increased and continued stress within healthcare organizations.
Thank you, Kate. I was curious with the increase of telemedicine, we're seeing more folks that are actually working remotely. Do you have any opinion as to how that may improve or cause things to get worse as it relates to HCP or caregiver stress levels?
Telemedicine is a fantastic resource. Great for patients, especially for people that may not have the ability to travel as easily or live farther away. As long as they have an internet connection or a good phone that they can connect with, I think in general that remote workers are going to feel a decrease in that burnout. A lot of times there's just not the same level of stress when you're at home, even if you're doing the same job. And a lot of people have talked about how they have extra time in their day because there's not an hour on either end of it while they're driving. And so it's been nice. I think that there are some challenges. And for some people, there can be some added stress, whether it's stress over communication. We all know that meeting online isn't perfect. We've all seen the memes and the funny jokes about, you know, can you hear me? Can you hear me? Can you see me? And so I think that stressed people out with regards to, are people going to be able to hear what I have to say? Are people going to get the same message that they would have in person? And so I think that has made some things a little bit harder. But in general, I think remote work and telemedicine is going to be good for both staff and for patients.
Agree. You mentioned that many organizations are providing more resources and services for their employees. I was curious, are there organizations and other resources that you think might be helpful for somebody who's interested in learning more about burnout causes and prevention in healthcare?
Burnout has become a buzzword in healthcare over the last 5 years. And because of that, there have been a lot of studies and organizations that have done work on looking at burnout in physicians and nurses and healthcare providers in general. So you've got ASCO and the ANA and the ACCC that have published things and done studies and put information out there for people to see, you know, how can we decrease burnout in physicians? What can we do with the EMR to, you know, decrease stress in healthcare providers. So I think there's all kinds of things that are out there if people look for it. Novartis felt this was an important issue for healthcare providers. So there's more information on the Caring Connections page to help people.
Thank you, Kate. A lot of great information. I would just like to focus this question for those that are listening that might be experiencing burnout themselves at this time. What should they do for themselves today if they are beginning to feel or they've experienced the symptoms of burnout? What would you recommend for them to do very practically?
I think on a really basic level, it's get to know yourself, figure out what helps you reduce stress, and do it. Make time for yourself. Make time for yourself every day. I know it feels hard, but we are the only ones that can take care of ourselves. A lot of times healthcare workers aren't great at that, but we have to be, because if we don't do it, we can't take care of patients. I think talking to trusted coworkers is something that everyone can do. I think there are a lot of people that feel stress and don't talk about it, and talking about it helps. Use the EAP at your work. You know, it's there because you aren't the only person experiencing stress and burnout. And so I think we all have to be open to seeing what's going on in ourselves in order to help ourselves.
Can you give me an example of an actual burnout story where you've witnessed somebody burning out, crashing, so to speak, on the front lines of healthcare?
Well, I think working in oncology for as many years as I have, that, you know, we all see people who are having trouble with what's going on at work that leads to trouble in their job. And I think part of that has to, that goes back to the fact that we are dealing with patients that are not always living through our treatments. Our goal as healthcare workers are obviously to cure patients and treat them. But sometimes in oncology, it is making sure that someone has quality of life at the end versus quantity of life. And that is something that we all have to deal with as we are trying to work every day. And I think that's something that can really weigh on people. We see physicians that feel like they've failed because someone doesn't live through their treatment. Nurses that have watched patients die week after week on an inpatient unit because they're working on a palliative care unit or a hospice unit. And so we know that those patients aren't probably going to live, but it really impacts the staff that are doing that work day to day. A really basic example is I worked with someone who was doing front desk work within a cancer center. So they were the person that checked in the patient and checked out the patient. And a lot of people would think that's someone who really wouldn't be impacted by what kind of patient they're seeing, oncology, OB, things like that. But what she ended up sharing with me is that over months, she saw patients declining, and they were people that she saw on a weekly basis. And she basically said that she saw them withering away before her. And that was something that she was not at all prepared for as a scheduler within healthcare. That was not something she thought she was going to have to deal with. And she didn't realize how much that was going to affect her. And so we really need to look at what we could do to keep her within the system and find a role where she didn't feel that way on a regular basis. And so I was able to work with her and move her into a role where she was more behind the scenes. She was dealing with new patients coming into the system and getting them scheduled, but she was not doing ongoing scheduling for them. So she didn't see those same patients on a regular basis. And that was something we were able to do that continued to keep a great employee in our system and dealt with the issues she was having with working in oncology and loving what she did and loving the patients, but just feeling like she couldn't do it anymore because it was taking too much out of her.
Kate, that's a great example of tailoring your approach to retain good people in the areas where they want to be, which is great. And unfortunately, oftentimes we hear of stories of people who aren't speaking, who are worn out, and then they make those career decisions to actually leave. on the flip side, are there things that you've seen that, when taken into consideration, can result in people overcoming, staying, and thriving in their roles?
I think most people can overcome stress and burnout, but it can be hard and it takes work, and it is not something you can do without help, without taking time for yourself, without figuring out how to decrease those stress levels. For some people, it means that they need some time off of work, whether that is looking at taking a leave of absence or taking a long vacation. But sometimes it means removing yourself and getting yourself back to a healthy spot so that you can come back in and take care of patients. And a lot of people can do that. They just need to learn from that experience. What are the things that they need to do going forward to not get to that same place? You know, how do they take care of themselves? How do they make sure that they take great care of patients, but give themselves the same important care on the back end so that they can do this every day? Most of us went into healthcare because we want to help people. We really feel it's important that patients get the best care possible, and we feel that we can provide that. And so I think that a lot of times that is something that keeps us going. And it's something that is really important in the heart and soul of all healthcare workers. But again, we need to take care of our inner person so that we can take care of patients and continue to do that good work.
Thank you. Well, I want to thank you for the very candid conversation that we've been able to have, and for you being able to share many of your experiences. This has really been a pleasure, and I trust that it'll be helpful for many healthcare workers who we often rely on, and we trust that it'll be a very practical podcast for them. Have a great day, and thanks so much, Kate.
Thank you.
You've been listening to a conversation on healthcare provider burnout, including Kathleen Sweeney, Director of Hematology and Transplant with Bradert and the Medical College of Wisconsin Cancer Center in Milwaukee, as part of Novartis's Caring Connections. Novartis Caring Connections is a resource created for the nation's oncology practitioners to share best practices and information on trends touching the lives of patients and providers on the front lines of oncology. Be sure to explore more of their podcasts and video resources at hcp.novartis.com/care-management.